This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's how you open up a Saturday show. Some horns, got some piano. As my dad used to say, piany. Play the piany. I like that. It's a good way to open up your Saturday. Freezing cold in Kansas City. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Our producer today is Jed Marshall. Charlie Carlin is joining us out on location today as we broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus. Open house today from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you're freezing, there's nothing to do outside, your kids' soccer games are canceled, there's no baseball games, come out to the K-State Olathe campus. It's warm. There's a lot of glass. The sun's coming through. It's warming up. So open house from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They got a workshop. I like this, Charlie. They got a workshop to make a healthy treat for your pet. So if your dog or cat would like a treat, they'll teach you how to make a healthy treat.
I wonder how that process goes.
I'm going to find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
I have a nice little dog, so that'll be fun. Willie, the Wildcat's going to be out here. We'll have free, made-from-scratch, homemade lunch from Pagaz Family Restaurant. And a lot of our folks that who listen to A10WHB who have gone there really have great things to say about it. And Charlie's giving us the thumbs up. They'll have K-State's famous ice cream out here. You know, it's an ag school. You gotta be good at making ice cream. They have the green screen up, lots of prizes, free and open to the public, and some purple pride into your weekend. K-State Olathe campus, by the way, located at College Boulevard and K-7. Got a good lineup of guests for us today. Matt Wheeler from ESPN will join us. Kansas City native, but now works as the worldwide leader. Covers college basketball, and he's helping build the NBA draft coverage for ESPN. So all the K-State, Kansas, and Missouri players that have declared or are thinking about whether or not to go to the draft, Matt Wheeler's going to give us an inside perspective on that and where those players may or may not land. So Matt Wheeler coming up in just a few minutes. Al Fitzmaurice, former Royals pitcher, is going to join us in the 10 o'clock hour. Royals losing again yesterday, 3-2 at Cleveland. It was not good. We'll get into that a little bit further. But now 1-4 to open the season. So if you had some hope that the Royals might limp along, you don't, that hope is fleeting fast, but that's the way it is. Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News will join us later in the show. We'll talk about the NFL draft and what the Chiefs should or should not be looking for, and what does he think of those top four or five quarterbacks where they might go in the draft. So Nick Jacobs will join us. And Michael Watson, former basketball star at Central High School and UMKC, going to join us later in the show, talk more college basketball, kind of put a bow on the season, and also some NBA draft. He works with a lot of kids as they develop their basketball careers, so he'll have some good inside perspective on taking your skills to the next level to get ready for the draft and whether you should or should not go. So Michael Watson will join us, and we'll go from 9 to noon, and then at 1 o'clock, our Masters coverage begins from Augusta, Georgia. From Westwood One, and that coverage is brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. So let's start with the Royals. Boy, another loss. I know it was only 3-2, but it's so frustrating, and who knows how much the cold weather affects how teams play, but both teams play in it. That's not an excuse. 3-2 loss. Royals get two runs in the first on a Mike Moustakas ground out and a Lucas Duda single. Cleveland got three runs back in the bottom of the first off Danny Duffy, who looked like his control was less than optimal, suboptimal, I think the kids say. His control was not there. It did not look good. And that was it. The scoring was done for the game. Five runs combined in the first. Two for Kansas City, three for Cleveland. Kansas City had a chance to tie it or take the lead late. Bases loaded, sixth inning. A pair of singles. A one-out intentional walk to load the bases. Then Lucas Duda struck out. Chesler Cuthbert out on a liner to left. Another chance in the eighth. Andrew Miller put two runners on. Struck out the side. Danny Duffy's numbers, not great. 5 2/3, three earned runs, three walks, three Ks. And the thing that always troubles me when I look at Danny Duffy's numbers are the number of pitches it takes versus how far he is into the game. So 5 2/3 innings, 99 pitches, 54 were strikes. The good side, well, the bullpen was good. It didn't stink. Whenever you can say the bullpen did not stink so far in this season, that's a good thing. Brad Keller, Tim Hill pitched pretty well. But definitely signs of concern. Charlie Carlin is out here. Oh, Charlie Carlin's going to – I was going to bring you in, Charlie. as I mentioned, with Danny Duffy, the thing that bothers me is when you see the pitch count versus where he is in the ballgame. 99 pitches in 5 2/3. And look, I know it's cold. It's hard to get the grip on the ball. But it's early in the season. He had that arm stiffness at the end of spring training. I'm concerned.
I'm definitely concerned as well because he's supposed to be our ace, or the Royals' ace.
Yes.
And Junis has been was great the last game and the last outing, and he might be passing Danny Duffy when it comes to that. But Danny Duffy's definitely got to step up. You hope there's no injury concern continuing from that spring training, like you right. said. And hopefully he can get it figured out. But it is early, so we kind of give him a little bit of leeway here, but it is definitely concerning.
And this look, Soren says this all the time. You cannot win the pennant in April, but you can damn sure lose it in
yeah.
April. And when you come out of the gate 1-4, and you've already kind of – I mean, Dayton Moore signaled that he doesn't want to do the full rebuild, meltdown, the tanking thing. He's not going to tank. He went out and got Lucas Duda, John Jay, brought Moustakas back, so he's not going to admit to the full tank. But at 1-4, this team is tanking, whether or not it knows it.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of – it's an interesting strategy of not tanking. By the way,
yes. Interesting way of not tanking. Let me write that one down.
Yeah, all of the interesting moves that he's made and all the experienced players will say that he's signed over the offseason and stuff. So we'll see what happens. But, I think Soren was talking with Jason Stark earlier this week, and he was just talking like you said, if you can't lose it or you can't win it in April, but you can definitely lose it.
Yeah.
And if you get off to a bad start like this. I mean, I know 1-3 isn't horrible at this point, but you definitely gotta get some wins here soon, and you hope that the pitching rotation can be at the front of that.
Absolutely.
Because they need to be.
Yeah, and it's I'm going to ask Al Fitzmaurice when he comes on at 10 o'clock about the cold weather and how it affects pitchers and players, but it's the same weather for both teams. Come out of the gate 1-4, not good. We all made our preseason predictions. I went with 70-92, and that was before they brought Moustakas back, and I thought, and before John Jay and Lucas Duda, and then we had the opportunity to recalibrate our picks because of those signings, and I left them alone based on the thought that, well, they get to June, they're going to be trading most of these guys anyway, and you start out 1-4, and we're already talking about trades.
Yeah.
I am talking about trades. Those are going to happen, and now 70 wins.
Well, what about the fact that up until last night with the loss to Cleveland, they'd been losing to teams that the Royals were picked ahead of?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the biggest problem, is that they have to get the wins against the teams that, like you said, are below them. They can't afford to lose the series to the White Sox, or I guess it was only two games, but still, they just can't. They have to be able to beat the teams, especially in their division.
Right.
Well,
and
in the riddle that last year was, at least for the early start, was the fact that the pitching, they squandered so many good pitching opportunities early in the season. When Ian Kennedy goes out and throws like he did the other day, we saw Junis get a 1-0 win. But when you're squandering early opportunities against teams that you're theoretically better than, this is how the bad seasons start, and how you guys alluded to what Jason Stark said.
Yeah, and with a team like Cleveland, who is clearly the division favorite, picked by a lot of prognosticators to make it to the World Series and represent the American League. But if you got a 2-0 lead in the first, and then you fall behind 3-2, and then you load the bases later in the game. Look, Duffy wasn't awful, but he wasn't good. His control is not there. But you got a chance in a 3-2 ball game on the road to put a couple of more runs on the board and at least tie it or perhaps get a win. You got to do it. And the more of those games against the teams that you should lose to, the more of those games that you have a chance to win that you let slip away, this season gets away from you by the end of April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems they still haven't been able to figure out which lineup works best, too, with this team. And the offense hasn't really shown much.
None of them
every
work.
Time.
That's why.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you want to try to find the right combination, but
Every time I look at the lineup card, we're all on Twitter here. I am at Brad K. Porter. Charlie, what is your Twitter account?
C. Carlin KC.
Jed, your Twitter account's a little different. Your address?
At Jedrow24.
We all follow the Royals beat writers and the team on Twitter. And when they post that lineup every day, so far through the first five games, I always have to take a second look. I mean, Paulo Orlando's already got a start in center field. Chesler Cuthbert is DHing quite a bit. Fine. I like his bat. Great.
Yeah,
He's at first base.
Yeah.
But some of these lineups are head-scratchers. Perhaps Ned doesn't know what to do. What are you supposed to do?
He's just trying everything he possibly can. And it seems in the past that the more obscure the lineup is, the more it works sometimes.
Right.
So maybe he's trying to keep that going. But yeah, he obviously hasn't been able to find the right combination yet.
So we'll talk more Royals baseball with Al Fitzmaurice coming up in the 10 o'clock hour as we broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus. One of the more odd stories of the week that I've been drawn into, and I'm not sure why, involves the UFC. Because I'll admit to you straight away, I cannot tell you much about the UFC. I know when it's on. I know when there's a big fight. But other than that, I don't know a lot about it. But I've been watching the last couple of days in the video of Colin McGregor. We all know.
Conor
McGregor. Don't follow, or Conor McGregor, pardon me. Colin is the Irish intern who I confused last week. So, Conor McGregor. Look, even if you don't know UFC, you know him because he fought Floyd Mayweather and took him the distance. I mean, that was actually pretty good. I was impressed that he survived against a professional boxer who's unbeaten.
Better fight than we all thought it would be.
Yes, absolutely. But here's Conor McGregor, who does not have a fight this weekend. And the story goes that some of his friends got into a scuffle with the group or the entourage of another fighter. And so Conor McGregor and his guys get on a private plane, fly to New York, go down to the arena where they're having the USC fight. Conor McGregor and his guys get out. They go under, kind of through the back alley of the arena, which why security is not stopping these guys, I don't know. That's why I'm still a little suspicious that some of this wasn't staged. But when you get arrested, it's not staged. It's serious. So Conor McGregor and his guys go in under the tunnel, under the arena. Conor wants to fight these guys, right? So apparently they're in the bus. They're in a full big bus, luxury bus. They're not coming out to fight. So he picks up what I call a two-wheel dolly. You can call it a metal hand cart, whatever you want to call it. Picks it up, charges to the bus, slams it through the driver's side window. The driver's hurt. The plexiglass flies into the eyes of a couple of the other fighters. They're not going to fight this weekend. They're having to remake the entire card because Conor McGregor got ticked off, took a private plane, flew to New York, and threw a cart through a bus window.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yes, he got arrested. He's bonded out $50,000, although he's allowed to leave the country. They said he can go back to Ireland as long as he comes back for his court date. So, Charlie, I don't know if you've been following this. Jed, I don't know if you've been following this, but this is bizarre. This is a guy who's worth millions of dollars and has millions of more dollars on the line in his future.
It's very strange, and I mean, but do you expect anything more
no.
than Conor McGregor at all? Did you see the videos of
yes.
the chance, or did you see
yes.
the video of the one inside the bus?
That I have not seen.
There's
yet.
Like two different videos that
okay,
are
okay. I've seen
around,
the one from outside the bus.
There's one outside, and there's one that's a little bit more intense from that someone took inside the bus, and you could just see the rage just coming from him and how he slams the dolly or whatever it was into the bus, and it's just like completely uncalled for. I don't understand what he's thinking. I saw Dana White said today after it happened that he might not be associated with UFC anymore.
No,
that's
chance.
Not
going to
happen.
No,
there's
chance.
Too much money on the line. There's too much money.
I know.
The theory posited by Adam Hill, or at least Seren posed to Adam Hill, who writes for the Las Vegas Journal World and is a contributor to the 2-Minute Drill and goes on with Steve Cofield there in Vegas. Seren was talking about how, according to most UFC people, this card kind of blows. I don't know enough about UFC to say whether that's right or not. And that McGregor caused this whole blank storm, for lack of a better term, basically because the card blows to draw a whole bunch of attention to get people's eyeballs on it, and that this could be a publicity stunt. I don't know enough about the UFC, but I certainly know that whatever's going on in that freak show of a sport, they'll do pretty much anything to garner attention. So, I wouldn't put it past Conor McGregor to go and do some crazy stuff and even then be like, I got arrested. Oh, well. It's not the end of the day.
I totally agree with that. It looks staged to me initially, and it could be staged. But when the police are involved and you get bonded out on $50,000, which the UFC can afford, that's chump change for those guys and for McGregor. It's a stunt that went too far.
Right.
I don't know, but I could totally buy into we're not getting any attention right now. McGregor's not fighting for a while, so let's have him attack a bus, and then maybe it went too far. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what to believe.
And isn't the reason he's not fighting because he got busted for being on a banned substance of some sort?
That I don't know. Like I said, I don't know enough about UFC, and maybe I should.
I'm fairly certain that's right. Someone can call in at 913-381-0810 and let me know. But I feel like that's accurate. But again, I'm no UFC expert. I'm no Stephen St. John.
Yes, and that would be the guy to talk to about it. And I know Nate Bucati on the Border Patrol had on some UFC people this week.
Yeah, James Krause was in, or
James
he called
Krause,
in yesterday.
Who's awesome, by the way. Admitting that I don't know a lot about UFC, I listen to James Krause and Laura Sanko because I think they're entertaining, and they tell me things that I don't know about the sport that's good information to have. But it feels like this is staged. Maybe it was a staged event that went too far. It sounds like a storyline. All right, hey Connor, how about you get your guys? We'll put you on a private plane. We'll get you to New York, and you come in, and we'll have a standoff, maybe.
And I don't ever want to compare what the UFC does to WWE or whatever, because that's not the point that I'm trying to make. But boxing for years has done outlandish events in an effort to draw eyeballs to their sport. It hasn't worked because there are no heavyweights anymore. I mean, diehard boxing fans will still watch it. But the UFC, this is like a Don King-type stunt to a certain level. Like, all those guys used to jaw at each other and almost get into fights at the press conferences and steal each other's belts. Conor McGregor, they just, when you get to a certain level and you just keep getting more and more fights and more money and your behavior is never checked, why wouldn't you just keep pushing the envelope? And especially if what we're alluding to and speculating on, that this were staged, if something did go awry, you'd be like, I don't know, man. Like, you told me to go cause a ruckus, and I did that. Right. Did things get out of hand? Maybe. But Dana White, you give me $5 million for this. This is what you wanted. So, I don't know. Conor McGregor's a crazy dude. You have to be crazy to sign up for any sport where you get punched and kicked in the head.
Yes, I was talking to my kids about that because we were watching this, the video the other day, and they were asking me, why, Dad, why do people act like this? And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, McGregor's clearly got some personal problems, but also, let's not do a sport that requires you to beat the living daylights out of each other and with no headgear on, just constant shots to the head. I'm sure it causes serious damage.
Yeah, we talk about CTE and football, and that's all the rage because I think more people play football, obviously more youth kids than I would assume get into mixed martial arts. But yeah, it can't be good to, I don't know, in the submissions too, where you're being like choked out. I don't think 40 seconds of lack of oxygen to your brain is necessarily good for it. I'm not a doctor, but
no. All right, so let's pick out a good story that involves both the Royals and baseball and doesn't involve beating the crap out of each other. Next week, when the Royals come back to town, the Mariners will be in for three games. Okay, Ichiro, he's still alive. He's still playing. But the real story is going to happen next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Kauffman Stadium, because the most talked about player in baseball right now is going to be in Kansas City. Ohtani, the Japanese sensation, who's both pitching and hitting for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of Orange County. How about three home runs in three straight games? And by the way, as a starting pitcher last week, averaged more 100-mile-an-hour fastballs than any other pitcher in baseball. That guy is going to be in Kansas City next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And now we talked about the Royals' season slipping away, and they're going to get to the part of the season where they're going to have to promote other teams' players coming in. Ohtani is the story of the season for me. Three home runs, three straight games, a starting pitcher who throws 100-plus, which is ridiculous. And the talk before was how long are they going to let him live this fantasy? Right now the fantasy is alive, and I'm all for seeing it keep going.
I'm with
Charlie,
you.
Charlie, your thoughts? Jed, your thoughts?
How many games are you going to try and make it out to?
If I can afford it, all four. And if he's pitching, definitely. I don't know the rotation for the Angels as of right now, so I don't know if he's lined up to start one of those games. But if you could see Ohtani start a game and hit in the other two or three, depending on how many times I want to let him hit.
Right.
I mean, that's must-see TV. That's must-see in-person baseball.
I was going to say, I know that the Royals haven't been very exciting, at least at the onset, and the weather's been lousy too. But those will be great games to go out there, like you said, to watch him. If he's pitching one night and then playing in the field two out of the three, you have to go to
or
at least...
Or even DHing.
Yeah, I mean, watching him swing the bat is unreal, at least right now. And everything, at least in our culture nowadays, is the next greatest thing. And we're, what, six games into the year? So maybe Shohei Ohtani will prove to be a nice player and not the second coming of Babe Ruth. But it's certainly awesome to see, like you said, at least some cool stuff around baseball.
Well, and you guys, are we already at the point to where we're looking forward to other players from other teams coming to Kauffman Stadium to see?
Yes. Well, let me ask you, Charlie, in particular, baseball's numbers in terms of interest, who watches games, who goes to games, skews very older. Mm-hmm. It got people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I'm at the younger end of
that. Well, easy there, Brad.
That I laid out there. Charlie, you're a younger guy. Is a player like an Ohtani who's getting all this national attention, is that a guy that will draw your eyeballs to a game that you may not watch otherwise?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. When you see, especially starting out so well, and the guy who really a lot of most people haven't heard of him, and the way he's starting out like that, and it would be very exciting to come watch, and you'd hope the Royals wouldn't just get beat by one player.
It might. It could happen.
But
you could have one player beat you pitching one night and hitting the other three in a four-game series.
They also have
That's
Mike
crazy.
Trout. Let's not forget about him. He's pretty good. Mike Trout? He's fairly decent.
He's all right. he can hit the ball, right? And, he's all right.
And the kid from Fort Osage, Albert Pujols, heard of him. So
yeah.
Angels got some players, man, I'm telling you. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. Want to remind you, we're broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus. Open house today from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. This is a fantastic facility, and they have these huge windows in front. So if you're freezing, if you don't want to go outside, come in here. Get by these big windows. The sun's coming through. It's warming up. You got a workshop. You can make a healthy treat for your pet. I'm checking that out 100% before I leave here today. Willie the Wildcat is walking around somewhere. I haven't seen him yet. We're going to find him. We'll get a picture. We'll put it on Twitter for you. We'll get made from scratch, homemade lunches from Pagaz Family Restaurant, K-State's famous ice cream, got the photo screen. So Purple Pride to start your set. Yeah, if you're KU, Missouri, whatever, come out here and just hang around. It's a lot of fun, got a lot of stuff going on. And Ralph Richardson, who is the dean and CEO, he met his wife at an open house in Manhattan 50 years ago. Today's their 50-year anniversary. So how about that? K-State Olathe, located at College Boulevard, east of K-7. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is here. Jed Marshall is helping us out as well. And we're going to talk with Matt Wheeler, Al Fitzmaurice, Nick Jacobs, and Michael Watson as we roll along. Plus an update on the Masters coming up next after this quick timeout on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A way to warm up your Saturday morning on a freezing cold day in Kansas City. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is alongside Jed Marshall, producing back at the studio as we broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today, already underway. Tons of people out here already. It is busy. I'm going to be open till 2 o'clock. It's an absolutely beautiful campus and a beautiful building out here in Olathe for the K-State campus. Workshop today that I'm going to check out later, healthy treats for your pets. Willie the Wildcat's going to be out here, a whole lot of good stuff. And as we roll along today, we're going to talk later in the show with Al Fitzmaurice, former Kansas City Royals pitcher, about the Royals and their 1-4 start. And Ohtani from the Angels coming in next week. Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News will join us to talk NFL draft, what the Chiefs are looking for, what they need, what they should be looking for. And later in the show, Michael Watson, former UMKC and Central High School basketball star, will join us to talk NBA draft and college hoops. Later this afternoon at 1 o'clock, our coverage of the Masters will take over here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, brought to you by Westwood One, and that is sponsored by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, M&M Golf Carts, and the update, the first threesome is out on the course, all sitting at plus five, Paul Casey, Fitzpatrick, and Oppy Bonrat. So they are out and started, and all three are even par through the first hole, but they are likely out. The leaderboard as it stood last night, Patrick Reed at 9-under, who had a monster Friday at the Masters. Leishman at minus 7, Henrik Stenson of Sweden at minus 5. Jordan Spieth, who had an awesome Thursday out of the blocks, looked like he was going to run away from everybody, came very much back to earth. He now finds himself 5 shots back at 4-under. Rory McIlroy also at 4-under. And Justin Thomas at 3-under. With Dustin Johnson and Charlie Hoffman all right there as well. Bubba Watson hot on their heels, Justin Rose. So a lot of good names at the top of the leaderboard. Right now we want to talk a little college basketball as relates to the upcoming NBA draft. And for that we turn to my good friend and former co-worker at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, who now is at the big time at ESPN, Matt Wheeler. Matt, how are you on this Saturday morning?
Good morning, Brad. I'm doing well.
Hopefully it is a little warmer over there at the ESPN Worldwide Leader Studios than it is here in Kansas City.
Nope. No, it's not. No.
We got 22 degrees this morning, and we had snow flurries. We had snow flurries last night, for crying out loud.
Well,
hey, the college basketball season. Well, the college basketball season is just wrapped up, and I know you do a lot of work behind the scenes for ESPN covering college basketball, and you're also helping work to put together the NBA draft coverage for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So as it relates to that, Kansas has some players coming out. We'll start with Kansas because they have the most players. But they had Malik Newman, no surprise, declare early for the draft. Of course, Devontae Graham and Svi Mykhailiuk are going pro.
Right.
And LeGerald Vick has announced that he is leaving to explore his professional opportunities, which may have been a situation of Bill Self saying, there's not going to be any minutes for you next year. But let's start with LeGerald Vick, because this just happened yesterday. Does he have an NBA build, an NBA game? Is he the type of player that a team could draft and stash in the G League? What are LeGerald Vick's possibilities playing professionally?
Yeah, I think that's probably, Brad, his best-case scenario. Obviously, he is an incredible athlete. He can go get the ball wherever it's at. But I definitely think especially in this draft with how deep it is, he's definitely at best looking at somewhere in the second round. And with the way with the two-way contracts now in the NBA, maybe he's an undrafted guy, but he goes into camp somewhere with somebody and then they say, hey, yeah, let's put him in our G League. Let's hold his rights, put him in the G League, basically give him what should be his senior year and develop him in the G League. And then maybe next season he's got a shot. We'll bring him back to training camp, and then maybe he's got a shot to make our roster.
So as you follow, I know you're a basketball junkie. You know rosters in Europe and in South America and everywhere else. Is the G League become a league where LeGerald Vick can go and get legitimate coaching and development as opposed to what it was maybe 8-9 years ago, where it was kind of a dumpster league, just to kind of, here's a league, come and watch these guys, we're going to throw them a few bucks? Has it become a place where you can really develop your talent and get some solid coaching?
Well, the G League is really made up of two kinds of players. The kinds of players that, like, as we're seeing here recently with the huge number of underclassmen declaring for the draft, the guys that aren't going to get picked or the second round picks, the guys that still need to develop. Okay, because, you know, everybody, they all have the dream of making it to the NBA. Then you have, like, the later veterans, like Brandon Jennings this year, played in the G League for a little bit, got a 10-day contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. They end up signing him. You're seeing that. But I think, you know, in terms it still has a ways to go in terms of a full developmental league, because the NBA just has not put that much money into it yet. But I think if you listen to what Adam Silver has said in recent months, especially with everything that's gone on with the FBI investigation into college basketball, Adam Silver is really concerned with that. And Adam Silver has proven in the past that he wants to be good partners, with everyone in college basketball across the world. And he's been picking up where former commissioner David Stern was with FIBA. And now I think he's taking a look at college basketball and he's being like, okay, look, this one and done rule is not working. If we give these kids another avenue into the G League, then that's probably where we need to go. And that's where I think here in these next couple years, maybe not right away, but you'll start to see Commissioner Silver really make an effort to develop the G League more. And to answer your question, Brad, the G League is still a major development itself. Yes, you can go there and learn and develop. And for some players, it's been very good. And they've gotten big contracts after they've gotten their 10 days or whatever after being called up. But the G League is definitely still a work in progress.
Well, I would say for Kansas City area basketball fans, the best example of a success story of playing in the G League and advancing your career is Shaq Harrison from Lee Summit West High School.
Yes.
He's been in the G League or was in the G League for most of the first half of the season. Got a big call-up from the Phoenix Suns. It was a 10-day contract. And he's been blowing the barn doors off, and he stuffed LeBron James a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, he's a good example. Willie Reed's another guy. You know, that was a G League player as well, and he got a big contract with the Miami Heat and the LA Clippers. But Willie Reed, who bounced around a couple of KC high schools, but a Kansas City guy, did the same route.
All right, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Brad Porter. We're talking with Matt Wheeler, from ESPN, who covers college basketball and also is helping build up their NBA draft coverage. All right, the other player, Malik Newman, I think most of us had a good idea that he would declare at the end of the season, but it was still kind of in the balance as you went through conference play. Then at the Big 12 tournament and in the NCAA tournament, he really exploded, 20-plus points a game, a couple of 30-point nights, really burst onto the national scene. I mean, we've all seen him, but burst onto the national scene. Right decision, obviously, but where does he profile out in terms of where he would go in the draft and what he needs to do to further develop his game?
Well, I think the combine is going to be huge for him because people want to know, okay, he was a big-time recruit. We know that. McDonald's All-American. So, you know, scouts have been watching him for years now. Okay, he went to Mississippi State. They tried to make him a point guard. It didn't work out. He goes to Kansas. He plays more naturally off the ball as a two. Okay, that's good for college. But is he really an NBA two-guard size? Maybe, maybe not. But you look at the way the NBA has played nowadays. Like, I watched a Celtics game a couple weeks ago when Kyrie was still playing, and at one point in their backcourt, they've got Kyrie Irving. They had Terry Rozier playing together, both two-point guards. So you can't tell me that Malik Newman can't play in the NBA off the ball because everybody else in the NBA is doing it now, playing multiple point guards. And even in that game, the Celtics put Shane Larkin, who's another point guard in the game, and had Kyrie, Rozier, and Shane Larkin on the floor all at about 6 foot, 6 foot one at the same time. So he can definitely make it in the NBA. It's just a question about this draft is so deep, where does he fall? Is he a late first-round pick? Is he an early second-round pick? I think most mocks have him going in the second round, which, okay, that gets you into a camp and it's good, but it also gets you a non-guaranteed deal, which is scary.
All right, we're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, covers college basketball, and he's helping prepare for the NBA draft as we talk about our local players who could get selected. All right, two more KU players, and then we'll hit K-State and Mizzou. Svi Mykhailiuk and Devontae Graham, just my opinion, but you tell me what you think. Svi Mykhailiuk's going to make his living shooting threes, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a J.J. Redick-type player who I watched last night, and I love J.J. Redick. And Devontae Graham could be a player. He could be a little bit like a Frank Mason, where maybe he's overlooked, but he outworks and out-hustles everybody, and now Frank Mason's getting big minutes, and maybe Devontae Graham turns into that kind of player.
Look, I've seen both these guys kind of projected as anywhere from the late first round to the early second round. So if you look at it, if they both get taken, say, in the late first round, they're both probably going to teams that are good, that are experienced. And so that can help and hurt them. Okay, they could go, in Devontae Graham's case, he could end up landing as a third point guard somewhere, kind of like Frank Mason has this year with the Sacramento Kings. And then he could be up and down in the G League. But I definitely agree, Devontae Graham's size and the hustle that he plays with will definitely help him. And if he goes to a team that's ready to win now and has been used to winning, I think he can really help a team. And the same thing with Svi. He's a great shooter, and he definitely has NBA size. The only catch is that those guys are projected to go late. You know, maybe they're just looking for guys to develop, you know, looking for two-way players. So it just all depends on where they land. Can they both play in the NBA? Absolutely. And, you know, Svi's also a guy, too, we talked about the last time I was on with you, Brad. If he's a second-round pick, you know, he may get invited to somebody's training camp or whatever. He might get a better offer to play in Europe because of his background and his shooting ability. And now scouts have seen him from Europe. He might get a better deal to go play in Europe like Sasha Khan did, and he may go overseas and play. I know the NBA is where he really wants to go, but, you know, money talks.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, I look at a couple of Kansas City kids in particular. Quentin Day, former star at UMKC and at mm-hmm. Paseo High School. He's been in Europe for almost 15 years now, making six figures, living rent-free in apartments, getting free cars, and traveling the world. Going to Europe is a really good option.
Yes, it is. I mean, if you look in the EuroLeague alone this year, Marcus Denman is playing for Panathinaikos. He's one of their best shooters. Phil Pressey is playing for FC Barcelona. Thomas Robinson has been playing for Khimki Moscow. So there's a lot of guys. Denman and Robinson obviously were both NBA draft picks, but it just didn't work out for them in the league. They're both making six, maybe even seven figures playing in the EuroLeague in the second best competition in the world and doing very well.
And learning two or three languages along with it. Listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with Matt Wheeler from ESPN, who covers college basketball, and he's getting ready for the NBA draft show. All right, K-State, Barry Brown announced this week he's going to explore his opportunities but not hire an agent. Look, I think the kid has a pretty good game. I think he could be rounded out a little bit better and get more exposure because K-State is going to be ranked and followed more closely next year mm-hmm. because everybody's coming back from an Elite Eight team. Where does Barry Brown project, and what is a better option for him would be to go back to K-State for another year, to get drafted, go to the G League, go to Europe? What's a better option for Barry Brown right now?
Look, I think what he's doing, there's nothing wrong with it. He's going to go. He's going to get an evaluation from NBA scouts. And I think, to me, I think he goes back to school, but he takes what he learns. And he goes and he works on that. And then next year, he's a much better player. He'll be much more improved and more capable of going to the combine and working out. And, I'm a big fan of the guys. Like, I know what there'll probably be like 100 underclassmen that declare or whatever. Most will go without an agent. But I'm totally for the guys that are kind of close to go, but probably are leaning more towards going back to school, because look, you get a free evaluation out of this. You get, and yeah, you get the talk from, you get to hear from professional scouts who tell you, hey, look, this is what you need to work on. This is what you need to get better at. This is what we're looking at for you at the next level. Go back to college, develop that. And hey, like you said, Brad, they got a shot to be really, really good next year. So he's going to get a chance to have lots of people watching. People probably just really started to find out about him during the tournament run. I mean, that's nice. That's great to parlay that into something. But, you know, if he can go back and help K-State have a full season next year where they're really good, it's only going to help him in the long run. So definitely returning to school, I think, is the best option for him.
All right, I saved your Missouri Tigers until the end because I knew you'd enjoy it the most. I let you sit on it for a few extra minutes here. So let's get right to it, the Porter brothers. We know Michael is going to be a top five to top seven pick. A lot of people think he's a lock for top three or five. I wouldn't be surprised if he slipped to seven or eight. I don't know. And Jonte Porter.
Cleveland Cavaliers would really like him.
Yes, they would. And Jonte is going to at least explore his opportunities. Let's start with Jonte because he's a little more interesting as to whether or not he should go, stay, get drafted, go to the G League and develop. I think he was tremendously underrated as a talent last year. He was under the radar because if Michael's not playing, well, maybe we're not watching Mizzou. But I think Jonte is tremendously talented, especially for a guy who runs 6'11". I think he's got a total NBA-type game with, yep, you know, needs some rounding out. He's got to learn to drive and take on guys as opposed to settle for shots. But what kind of game does Jonte Porter have in terms of an NBA game? And would it be better for him to go into the draft, get a chance, maybe go to the G League, or would another year at Mizzou help his stock and maybe turn himself into a top 10 guy?
Well, he's another guy that his stock is kind of late first, early second, but his stock has really risen, and it's because of his versatility. He does so many things well. I mean, he's a good defender. He blocks shots. He can steal the basketball, and then obviously he can handle the basketball a little bit. He's an extremely good passer for a guy at his size, and you know, I think, you know, people kind of really overlooked him early because he's a completely different player than his brother. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have near the athleticism that Michael does, but he's so fundamentally sound, and at his size, that's what basketball has become for guys his size. They need to have that jump shot. They need to be able to move the basketball. They need to be able to handle the ball. You know, and the more and more I read about him and everything, the more and more I think he's going to stay in the draft and that he's going to be a late first-round pick.
Yep. Did we lose you, Matt?
Yep. I'm here, Brad. You got me?
Okay, there you go. Go ahead and finish your thought. Actually, I'm coming up on a break here, so let me get one just quick. Tell me where Michael Porter Jr. goes. Does he go top three, top five, top eight? Where does he land?
Tough to say yet because the draft order is not out, but it depends on a team that needs a small forward, stretch four. But I think he slips a little bit because of his back, but I think he's anywhere from four, five, or six.
Okay. I was thinking along the same things, even slipping down to seven, but we'll see how it goes. Hey, Matt Wheeler, I appreciate it. I know you spend so much time following basketball, both in the NBA and college, and I'm going to add in a third Europe. You follow all of those leagues as well, and your information is so great. Matt, I appreciate it, and have fun at the Worldwide Leader there at ESPN, Matt.
Thanks, Brad. Good to chat with you.
All right, good to talk with you too. That is Matt Wheeler, our good friend, who is a Kansas City native, graduate of Ray Peck High School, went to Mizzou. He's now at ESPN covering college basketball and the NBA draft. So good stuff from Matt Wheeler. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We are broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus right down College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today, already underway. Lots of folks out here. They'll be open till 2 o'clock. Got all kinds of fun stuff going on and giveaways, and we do too. We have some koozies for 810, some coasters, and Charlie, we got a registration. Is it a round of golf at Tiffany Greens? Is that what we're giving away today?
There we go. There's my mic. Yes, that's what we're giving away today, just around at Tiffany Green. So, yeah, in honor of the Masters, come out and register to win for that.
Come by and register for that. A round of golf at Tiffany Greens. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. This is Sports Saturday. I am Brad Porter, along with Charlie Carlin and Jed Marshall. And we'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, just a couple of minutes left here in our first hour of Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, joined by Charlie Carlin and Jed Marshall, who's broadcast live from the K-State Olathe campus, College Boulevard, east of K-7. Open house today, already underway. Right here, the folks walking around. This is a beautiful building. Campus is outstanding. And it's going to be open until 2 o'clock today, and it's warm inside. So this is your excuse. If you were supposed to rake the yard and you know, work around the house outside today, and it's, you know, it's 25 degrees outside, say, I got to go to the open house at the K-State Olathe campus. I got a workshop, teach you how to make a healthy treat for your pet. I'm going to hit that up. And Willie the Wildcat's around here.
He's around here somewhere.
Yeah.
It might not be as appealing on such a cold day, but the line is building for the ice cream station.
We're definitely hitting that, right?
So, yeah, we'll definitely get that after the show, and we'll check that out, because I'm sure they've got all sorts of good topics and stuff, and, you know, all the kids going crazy with it, and so it's starting to build.
That's
right in front of us here.
Like, the people that are looking for, you know, a college opportunity, whether they're prospective younger students or even older students looking to finish their degree, they're looking for and all that kind of stuff, and anybody that's got the young kids, they're going right for the ice cream line.
Right.
That's where you
got
to go first.
Right, they should put the brochures next to the ice cream station there.
It's like the old grocery store trick. You put the milk and the bananas at the back of the store because everybody needs those.
Exactly.
Put the bread in the back, so you have to walk through everything else.
Exactly.
I'll take some of that ice cream and Pegas when you guys come back, by the way.
You know what? It's cold enough today that Charlie and I could drive back to the studio and put the ice cream, like, on the roof, and, like, if we can somehow secure it, it would stay frozen.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
By the way, Masters update. Our coverage will begin at 1 o'clock today with Westwood 1. That's brought to you by Brokers Gin, Buck Roofing, Amini's, and M&M Golf Carts. Not a good day for the guys who are out on the course early. Phil Mickelson is already 4 over through 2 holes.
Oh, boy.
And so he's at... That's just for the day, 4 over. He's 9 over for the tournament. Tiger Woods is out. He's plus 1 after one hole. He's at plus 5 overall. Ian Poulter is 1 over through 1. He's at plus 6. So the lower part of the scoreboard is out and underway. The leaders will not get off until later this afternoon. Patrick Reed at 9 under. Leishman at 7 under. Henrik Stenson, 5 under. Spieth and McIlroy at 4 under. Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson at both 3 under par.
So Tiger and Phil are in serious danger not making Sunday.
They made the cut but for Saturday, but
yeah.
It's moving day, and they're moving in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Still to come on the show, Al Fitzmaurice, former Royals pitcher, is going to talk Royals baseball. Nick Jacobs talking NBA draft, and Michael Watson talking NBA and college hoops. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the K-State Olathe campus. Back after this.
You're a champion. You're a champion. You're a champion, you're a champion, you're a champion.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.